Welcome back, you horny little rats. It's time to smut up and listen.
Just a reminder for today's episode and all future episodes, our opinions are subjective. We don't advocate for kink shaming or author shaming. This is all in good, smutty fun. Enjoy. And don't forget to check out patreon.com/smutupandlisten to listen to the r/smut podcast, where Riley and I will be doing blind reactions every Tuesday to Reddit erotica.
Welcome back, you horny little rats. It's time to smut up and listen.
Just a reminder for today's episode and all future episodes, our opinions are subjective. We don't advocate for kink shaming or author shaming. This is all in good, smutty fun. Enjoy. And don't forget to check out patreon.com/smutupandlisten to listen to the r/smut podcast, where Riley and I will be doing blind reactions every Tuesday to Reddit erotica.
Today's episode trigger warnings are death, post-traumatic stress, and explicit sexual content.
And I have a review.
Woo! Tell us.
And this review, it's an Apple review, but this one comes from Avery Elizabeth 10, and it says, obsessed, 5 stars, girls. I look forward to a new episode every week for my long drives. You keep me laughing and got me into fantasy. Best podcast ever.
Thank you. Woo. Avery Elizabeth.
Thank you, you little cutie.
So sweet.
And this week, we're telling Riley all about Exodus by Kate Stewart, which is book 2 of the Ravenhood series. How many stars did you guys give Exodus on Goodreads?
Obviously, it's a reread for me. First time I gave it a 5. Second time around, I'm going to give it a 4. I stand by what I say on my rereads of these, that they just don't need to be this long.
Yeah.
She could have accomplished everything in the book in a shorter amount of pages. But I love Kate Stewart, so whatever.
I would say 4.5, only because I really, really liked it. I was gagged at some points, but only just because it was really long too. Towards the end, I was like, damn, she's still going. But it was really good.
I give it a 3.
Did you?
You could never catch me so hung up on a man as Cecilia. Like, give it up, girl.
But she has, like, raging father issues.
Stand up, girl.
Sure, but I would never chase a man the way she does. Never. Not even my husband. I would not chase the way she chases these men.
She also has mommy issues. Like, she has mommy and daddy issues. Like, she's never been shown, like, an ounce of love, like, a day in her life. So, of course, the second she gets it from not only one, but 2 men, she's like, I'm gonna plaster my pussy on the sidewalk if you show me 1 ounce of love, and I'm gonna follow you to the ends of the earth.
I just can't get behind it. That's all. Have some self-respect, Cecilia.
Stand up.
Yeah.
So, remember, she's at the pool trying to get Dom and Sean's attention, blasting music topless when the Frenchman approaches. And he is the most beautiful man she's ever seen. She stutters, saying that she wasn't sure if he was actually a real person or not. And he tells her that she wasn't supposed to know he even exists. He's here to clean up the mess that those 2 boys made of everything by sleeping with the enemy's daughter.
Bum, bum, bum.
He lets her know that someone from another chapter of their club told him about her, and that's why Dom and Sean tried to get rid of her, so he wouldn't catch wind of it and come down to take care of the problem himself. Because remember, she didn't get any explanation. They just, like, cut her out. She wasn't allowed in the clubhouse anymore. They didn't talk to her. Nothing. She tells him that she'll help in any way that she can with the club stuff. She just wants back in as long as her dad doesn't get hurt, and to let her see both Dom and Sean. She's, like, begging for scraps of these 2 men.
Oh my goodness.
And he tells her, no, no. And he also goes a step further by letting her know that every single member in every single chapter of their club is not to open the door, even if she knocks on it. So she's excommunicated.
Damn. I'd be like, okay, bye.
Yeah.
Book over.
He goes to leave, but she starts begging again to be part of the club. And he tells her that he'll think about it, and then he just leaves. It's been a couple weeks now, still nothing from anyone in the club or Dom or Sean. She started community college to keep her occupied. She's full on Bella Swan when Edward leaves.
Oh, God.
She's depressed. She's lost weight. She only gets updates from her old coworker, Melinda, in regards to what's going on around the plant. And she even, like, compares herself to Bella.
Yeah, there's a Twilight reference in the book where she's like, I am breaking Dawn, Bella.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Stand up, girl. It's been weeks.
There's a possibility.
Well, that's her. It's been more than weeks because it's like a whole new season. It's fall now. So she's going through the seasons, just whittling away. And she decides to get out and go to the apple festival that the town has because she remembers Melinda hyping it up so much. She wanders through the vendors until she has a complete breakdown and then decides to go and leave. When she gets to her car, someone stops her by putting a hand on her hip. She turns around and it's Sean.
Sean, what are you doing here?
He pulls her back to the crowd to dance with him, but she's in like so much shock that she's just like staring at him, going through motions and not asking him questions or anything. And when the song ends, he tells her that he has to go and begs her to take better care of herself. And then he just disappears in the crowd.
Okay, I'm sorry. If these two men, whatever, we were having a time, falling in love, blah, 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 fucking, and then they just ghost me. It's been weeks. Months, and then he just pulls me in for a dance and then says, gotta go, take care of yourself. I'd be like, fuck you, get out of my fucking face.
But she's like, wait, come back. Oh my god.
She catches a glimpse of him in the crowd and chases him until she sees both Dom and Sean climbing into the vehicle across the street. She like has another little minty bee crying and begging them not to leave her. And as she stares at them, she tells them she loves them and they drive away.
They said, we don't care.
It's now springtime, so fall, winter is past. Again, she's Bella Swan with her lost Edwards. And she's trying to survive heartbreak by being completely on her own. Because remember, her dad doesn't even fucking live there. Like, she's in a mansion by herself, like, just chilling.
I'd be having the time of my life.
Yeah.
She only has to get through this spring and summer working for her dad. And then she gets her inheritance and she can leave to wherever she wants. But she's kind of thinking she wants to stay in Triple Falls.
Mind you, she'd literally be a millionaire. And she's like, I'll just stay in this cute town.
Oh, my life is so hard.
Shut up.
She has her first date since everything that happened. He's very nice, very sweet, but the date just wasn't the vibe, and he's totally okay with it.
He is not Dom and Sean.
No.
When she gets into bed later that day, she sees something on her pillow, and it is a metal pendant with a raven wing or some bullshit on it, and she knows it's from either Dom or Sean. She searches the whole house thinking that they're there for her, but comes up empty and decides to just go romp through the woods to find them.
Decides to go romp through the woods. Yeah. As one does.
And their entire relationship was what, like a month? 2 months?
Yeah, it was only for the summer.
Yeah.
Girl.
But they're claiming her.
But then they unclaimed her like a year ago.
All I can think of in the whole first part of this book is literally like Twilight. She's running through the woods to find Edward after he breaks up with her. Like,
he's like, I don't want you to come. God.
Obviously, the forest is empty, and she keeps calling out for them until a deep voice says, sorry to disappoint. She turns around. It's the Frenchman again, which, sir, why are you stalking me in the woods? Go away.
Yeah, what are you doing here? Is she gonna fuck him?
No.
Really?
Yeah, no.
But she said he's the most beautiful man she's ever seen. They only say that when they fuck him.
Yeah, but she's in love with Dom and Sean.
Oh, my God. Get your pussy wet somewhere else.
They verbally have like an altercation for a moment before he notices the raven wing metal pendant on her neck and he rips it off of her. She's pissed and calls him every name under the sun.
1 second, I'm standing. And the next, I'm off my feet and flat on my back. Liar. My heart stops beating as the breath is knocked out of me just as my mouth is brutalized by something resembling a kiss. He waits every inch of me as he attacks my lips, separating them with the thrust of his tongue. Frozen, eyes wide, his licks invade, and I sputter and choke. With every stab of his tongue, he plunders, gathering me wholly, and with the next lick, takes me as captive.
I had to throw you off the trail.
You did.
She can't get him off, so she decides to kiss him back. And then she realizes that she's actually really enjoying it.
Yeah, girl.
And she's hella soaked.
I hank my legs around his hips as he glides his cock along my entrance. The thin material between us doing little to shield me from direct contact. Back arching, I'm pulsating everywhere. My breasts grow heavy and my nipples draw tight. Clit throbbing, I clutch him to me as he bruises and conquers. His touch void of any tenderness.
She's like, he's mean to me? I love him. I will pine for this man.
And if he ghosts me, I won't care. I'll still love him.
Her head clears and she finally scrambles away from him. He tells her she clearly has no loyalty to those that she claims she loves, and this is fucking proof. And she's like, oh, you want to fight dirty? I know you're right, but you want to fight dirty. So she walks up to him and just grabs his dick over his pants.
Do you feel like that's doing what she thinks it's doing?
I don't think so.
No, it's like just proving his point.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Gripping him in my hand, I note the width, the girth, and train my features not to react. He would have torn me in half had he taken me as roughly as he kissed me.
That's a big dick.
That is a big dick.
Torn her in half.
Assert your dominance with it.
She asks what his name is since she still has no idea what his name is at all, and he steps away from her. But not before she shows him a little trick that she learned and pulls his wallet and opens it and grabs his ID. So she pickpocketed him.
Oh, go girl.
His name is Ezekiel Tobias King, and he is Dominic's brother.
Boom, oh. Boom, boom.
The plot thickens.
But she starts unraveling the family history just by like piecing what she knows of the Frenchman and Dom. And we learn that they're half brothers, same mom, different dads, but he likes to be called Tobias too, by the way. So Tobias grew up in France with his father, hence why him and Dom aren't close. And she summarizes that his father must have been a bigger monster than him, and she can tell this strikes a nerve. She tells him that she's only there in Triple Falls for her mom to ensure that she has everything she needs once she gets that inheritance, and she's gonna be gone soon enough. And he's like, I will follow you through on that. You will leave this fucking town.
Okay.
It's been a couple days. Again, she's doing a little jigsaw of information of everything she knows from her summer with Dom and Sean, what she's learned about Tobias so far. And now she's thinking about him a little bit too much, and she wants him.
Girl,
go find a nice man
at your community college.
She did. Go, she found one in the woods.
Yeah. After she romped in the woods.
Yeah.
Tobias shows up at her house and says that they need to talk. Tyler is with him, and she gives him the cold shoulder. Do you remember Tyler? He was like in the same house roommate-wise as Dom and Sean.
And he was in love with Delphine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Dom's aunt.
Yes.
She gives Tyler the cold shoulder as Tobias just starts cooking breakfast in her kitchen like he owns the fucking place. They have a somewhat civil conversation about everything leading up to this point, and he tells her that he wants to come to a business agreement with her. He offers to not retaliate against her dad until she gets her inheritance. And she's like, okay, but one more thing. I want my dad's safety included in that. He kind of fights back, but they ultimately agree. The next morning, she wakes up to him swimming in her pool. Again, later that day, he's at her fucking house. He's like weirdly just like taking over her house.
I'd be like, what are you doing here? Stop. Get out.
There's a weird push and pull with them going on that she can't figure out. And she tries to confront him about it. And he's like, it's only because of our business bargain. Like, I'll be out of here when that's done. She's like, okay. Just then, two of the club guys walk in and make a comment about her getting around because now she's playing house with Tobias. And he throws her car keys at them, tells them to go clean her car, and tells her to get in his car because they're running an errand. He takes her to the bank and they go over this conspiracy theory again about who the real criminals are in the world, yada yada yada, trying to get her to understand why the Ravenhood does what they do. Later that night, they are playing chess, and he gives her more information about her dad's shitty being, pretty much what he does to his business partners and everything. But he asks her before he leaves why she's so attracted to Dom and Sean. She can't answer because she doesn't know how to like explain their dynamic, so he leaves the house. The next day, she leaves work pissed off about everything that's happened with the boys so far, and she goes like full-on crazy psycho ex-girlfriend, goes to their townhouse where they were living, but it's empty, and it has been empty for months. So weeds are all over the place. No one lives there anymore. Nothing.
Okay.
So she goes to the next best place, to the garage. She sees Jeremy and Russell, and they don't talk to her or let her in, just like Tobias promised. And she's like, you know what? I'm going to do something different. So she decides that she's done with the two men who said that they love her.
As you should be.
You should have done that a year ago.
Yeah.
Later that night, she does a night swim and goes into her room, but Tobias is there. He's always there now. So she undresses in front of him, but he doesn't pay attention as he lets her know he has her all figured out. He starts spewing a bunch of stuff that she knows is true about herself. She doesn't want to hear it, though, so she slaps him across the face.
The crack of my palm against his cheek is sickly satisfying. He roars, gripping my wrists and pinning me to the dresser. Eyes locked, I glare up at him a second before he slams his mouth over mine.
Of course he does.
She kisses him back and knows that if she crosses this line with the enemy, there's no going back anymore. So she crosses that line. She lets him eat her out.
As you do. Fisting his hair, I cry out at the force in which he sucks. His thick locks tickling my thighs before his tongue darts out, separating me, spearing my clit with precision, and with one sure swipe of his tongue, I go boneless, my back crashing into my dresser as I throw my head back and begin to ride his face.
Oh, goodness.
He drags her down to the carpet and continues to eat her out until she comes, and then he sits up and starts undressing, and she knows that she's gonna fuck him even if it ruins everything.
Why? He unzips his slacks, unleashing his engorged cock, stroking it as I look on before he starts the slow roll of a condom. I catalog him, consuming every naked inch that my gluttonous mind is demanding I memorize. Once fitted in latex, he lifts my neck in his palm, tilting my head to give me a clear view. He wants me to bear witness to the end, to his assumed victory. He pauses briefly, a few seconds for any objection before he begins to press into me. Inch by thick inch, he takes up the whole of me and I lose my breath due to the stretch, the size of him.
She's really fucking him.
Yep.
Yeah, girl.
She knows that he's only having sex with her for revenge against her father and his brothers, but she's like, meh, it's fine. And he fucks her until she comes.
His eyes slam shut and he throws his head back, mouth going slack as I milk his cock. The resulting turbulence shaking us both.
Turbulence?
Yeah, what turbulence? I'm like, wait, they're not on a plane.
Once he recovers, they fuck some more. Harder, frantic, they both come again. And once it's done, she can only smile because she can tell just from his expression that it was supposed to be revenge, but he actually enjoyed it. And he's like, oh, fuck. She tells him that he has to live with the decision too, and it's not just her punishment for betraying them. Now they both have, and he leaves.
Oh my God. What a mix of emotion. Right after you fuck.
Yeah, yeah.
She only has 7 weeks left now until her inheritance, and then she's free. She did like this whole, I don't even know what you want to call it, but she cut her hair off. She bought herself a new Jeep.
Oh, God.
She wakes up later that night, and her stalker, Tobias, is standing by her bed.
You call him stalker.
A couple drinks deep and asks if she's acting out to get the boy's attention or his. So he's like, I see you driving around in your brand new fucking car, spending loads of money. Like, what the fuck are you doing? She says neither, and she hates him, but she's hella soaked as he starts touching her. He rips her brand new dress off and slides it off her body, telling her he can't believe he gets to touch what her father treasures. And she laughs because she's like, my father doesn't fucking love me.
Oh, he said, bitch, you thought.
She was like, if he loved me, he would be in this fucking house. Like, what do you think that you're doing something? Because you're not. He doesn't fucking care.
Yeah.
She guides his hand down to her and he just sits there and doesn't do anything. So this pisses her off and she slaps him again. She really likes to slap Tobias.
Do it.
Now he's pissed and just starts kissing her very aggressively until they're both ripping each other's clothes off.
Mouths molding, I rip at his shirt as he buries his face in my neck, lowering his hand to push his fingers inside me, finding me soaked. He groans as he rims my pussy, sliding a second finger to the circle of muscle behind it. I yelp into his mouth and grip him behind the neck while he probes me in an untouched place. Your booty hole?
Uh-huh. He's asserting his dominance.
Yeah, he is.
Finger popping her butthole.
He drags her to the end of the bed and demands that she suck his dick. But it's so big, she can't fit it all in her mouth.
What? You know, that's what I never get about books is like, I have never come across a dick that I couldn't put in my mouth.
If I see a dick, I could put it in my mouth.
Let's be real.
I can fit that.
After her okay attempt at a blowjob, he pulls her to the edge of the bed and flips her on her back. She sees that he's about to enter her without a condom and tries to stop him.
Oh my goodness. You have an IUD, and I'm not fucking anyone else, Cecilia. I'm no threat to you. I'm taking my punishment. Our eyes meet with his confession. As long as this is happening, it's only you. And I can't help myself. I watch as he slides his thick tip through my folds, pressing it to my clit, teasing and torturing us both. Okay, that does not protect you from STDs. You don't know.
No.
But he said it's fine. So she lets him, and they start fucking. But he tries to do some, like, weird power play thing and gets her to scream his name, but she refuses. So he just, like, fucks her very roughly until they both come and tells her it's a mistake. But they're going to keep doing it, and there will be nobody but him.
Right, right, right.
And then he leaves her naked in bed, and he's just gone.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Another couple of days pass, and she decides to fill out other college applications when he shows up again. He takes all of her electronics away to get her attention and presents her with a gift of lingerie and a matching robe. Then they get in a fight because she's like, I don't want this if this is an apology from you. He's like, it's not an apology. I'm just trying to do something nice. Please put it on. He undresses her slowly before placing her in her new lingerie and tells her that she is exquisite. That's all he does, is just put her in lingerie and leaves.
Okay, weirdo.
He's like, all right, cool. You look great. Bye.
Later on, when she gets home from work and she hops in the shower, Tobias shows up and gets in the shower with her.
God damn.
He's just there all the time, I'm telling you.
I would never know a moment of peace.
Yeah. What if you wanted to shower alone? What if you had to poop?
He's there. He'll wipe for you.
What if you had a big loud fart?
He's there.
He's gonna hear it.
As he's under the stream of water, though, a bunch of blood washes out of his hair. And she's like, what the fuck? Are you okay? And he's like, yeah, I'm good. She gets him out of the shower to assess the wound. And it's like a very serious head wound. Like, it needs stitches.
Oh.
She demands to know what happened and tries to take care of him. She makes him food, tries to at least get the bleeding to stop, gives him some of Roman's clothes. He's being very combative with her until she gives him a couple Vicodin. And once those start to kick in, he tries to ask how she ended up with Dom and Sean. And as she's telling him the whole love story of the three of them, he falls asleep. She wakes up. He's not there, but her phone is on the pillow. And there's an open email from her dad. Tomorrow's the day that she goes to sign for her inheritance. She packs an overnight bag and drives to Charlotte, where she'll be meeting her dad in the morning. And she doesn't think of anything except Tobias, and she knows she's delusional.
You are delusional, girl.
So Cecilia meets her father in the conference room to finally sign off the long-awaited papers. She tries to get answer from him, since after this, she knows she will likely never see him again. She doesn't want a hug, she just wants some answers, but of course, Roman can't even give her that. She unleashes 20 years of anger on him, telling him he's a coward, and begs for him to fight for her, but he's still unrelenting. He tells her that he's had to make hard choices, but he's always had her best interest at heart. And she tells Roman that she wants a father, not a fortune, and ends this torturous deal with a heartbreaking handshake, because in the end, that's all this was, a transaction, a payout. By the time Cecilia drives home, Tobias is waiting at the front step for her. She realizes with horror that somehow he heard every single word of the meeting. She tries pushing him away and telling him that she's done with him too, but he just pulls her close while she sobs in his arms. So, you know how, like, in the back of Cecilia's yard, in that clearing that she always runs to, and Tobias is, like, always there somehow? By her pool, there's that clearing. So, they're having a cutesy little picnic there, and we find out that when Delphine, who was Tobias's aunt, who was, like, basically, like, a mother to him, told him that his parents died, he ran out of her house and just kept running and running and running until he reached this patch of clearing, which happened to be her backyard. And this has been his place of peace and, like, a sanctuary. That's why he was there that day in the end of the first book when she was topless calling for her boys. He was there coincidentally to clear his head, and fate played another role.
He said, oh, hey, girl.
Hey, boobies.
Yeah.
My, what fine tits you have. It's the next morning, and they're making googly love eyes at each other. And Tobias has a very vulnerable moment and tells her that her heart is not her weakness. It's his.
Slowly, so slowly, he bends and presses his full lips to mine. And with this one act, the rest of my self-preservation ceases to exist.
What self-preservation?
Yeah.
She has none to begin with.
No.
She's like, well, he looked at me. Time to spread my legs.
Yeah.
Oh, he's toxic. I love him.
Slick with need, I squeeze my thighs together as he teases me, drawing me further into him. He does this over and over, dizzying me to the point of insanity. At his mercy, I wrap around him as he kisses me and kisses me, his tongue sweeping me into this moment with him, erasing every line we've drawn. When he pulls back and gazes down at me with hooded eyes, it's not lust that has me gasping. It's the truth he lets me see. No amount of lies or contradictory actions on his part can ever take this away. He dips again and takes my mouth, a confession on his tongue, and I meet him, kissing him back, telling my own, and it's then I allow myself to fall further and further into the biggest secret of my life, a secret I've known longer than I will ever admit. I'm falling in love with my enemy.
How many people is this girl gonna fall in love with?
Yeah,
what?
This is in the span of a year, too. 1 year.
Good Lord.
She's been alone for most of that, too. She's
yes. I love all these men.
Can you guess what they do next?
They fuck, dude.
Once he's readied me, he lines us up and without hesitation pushes his length into me, claiming me fully, flattening his chest to mine. He drives in further and I lose every ounce of my breath. His cock is rooted so deep, I'll never be able to forget the way he feels.
Girl, he's fucking a crazy man.
She was already crazy.
They fuck hard, but then it changes pace and they make sweet, sweet love. Their body's saying everything their mouth isn't. And that's when they both realize this can't work between them, because Cece will never ask him to choose her over his brothers or their cause. Tobias tells her guiltfully that he can't promise her anything and that this must end now, and she agrees. So even though they called it quits, they lied because they can't keep their hands off of each other.
He teased me mercilessly until I begged him to take me. And when he did, all playing ceased, our eyes locked, and he tore through me equally as starved. He kissed me with so much fervor that I forgot myself, forgot that we were wrong.
They're playing house right now, freaking in the downtime, playing chess together, cooking together. They're laying in bed addressing the elephant in the room. Tobias spoke up first. He's basically like, I thought we both said we couldn't fall in love with each other because there was no room for that. Then continued by saying, well, I guess we're both liars, basically admitting that he loves her, when a steel voice cuts in and says, well, brother, would you take a fucking look at this?
Uh-oh.
Dom and Sean stand in Cece's doorway staring at Tobias and Cecilia together in bed. Both men look like they've been through it. And Cecilia's like, what the fuck? Where have you been? And Sean turns to Tobias, seething, and says that Tobias sent them away. The men turn on Cecilia for being with Tobias, and she's like, what the fuck? You literally pretended like I was nothing for basically half a year. Like, why are you mad at me?
Yeah. I mean, it is his brother.
It is, yeah, but his still, brother.
They,
yes.
Both, they basically broke up with her.
They did. Yeah. I do agree with that.
The audacity.
It's a sticky situation.
Sean tells her that Tobias sent them away, cut them off from the world basically for keeping her from him, and that they've been waiting this entire time from the okay from Tobias to return home. They were supposed to return next week, but they caught an early plane. Dom and Tobias almost fought right then and there, and Dom tells Tobias he is no brother to him. So there's just so much drama going on. Everyone's fighting and screaming. Sean figures out that Cece and Tobias love each other, and Dom and Sean both know that there's nothing they can do about this now.
I mean, what do all of these people expect?
There's love involved now. It's game over.
She was supposed to wait for them, even though they told her not to.
I know.
And Cece is just absolutely torn because Tobias knew that they miss and loved her so much this entire time, but still let her completely mourn them and believe that she was nothing to them this entire time. So, like, that was like her last straw. She told Tobias that she is done with the brotherhood. He was about to leave to go talk to Dom and Sean, and she said that when he comes back from talking to his brothers, she will not be here.
At her own house?
Yeah.
She's like, but you can be here in my house if you want. I won't be here.
You can stay.
Yeah. She fell asleep packing and woke up so groggy, like too groggy, where it was hard to walk. And when she could walk, she was staggering. She realized that she slept half the day away and also realized she has two large ass pads stuck to her back. She peeled them off and discovered a huge ass raven wing tattoo across her shoulder blades. She was drugged and branded.
What the fuck? Yeah. What?
After he was like, don't wear this necklace. I'm gonna tattoo you.
I'm gonna take away your free will and brand you.
I did not expect that.
She loses her shit and goes absolutely apeshit, which, like, as you should, queen. Pop the fuck off. Yeah. She goes to the garage and slashes every single person's tires that's there and then smashes bottles up against the building until they all come out. She demands to know who marked her. No one is giving anything away. She doesn't go straight home and she wanders for hours and hours. And finally later, she returns to her house and Dom is standing in the doorway of her bedroom. She can see a gun in his waistband with a silencer and she starts like absolutely panicking because she's like, fuck, I just slashed all their tires. He's probably in like a rage. She doesn't know how far someone will go to like keep her. And she doesn't know like which way's up, which way's down because these men have just like completely fucked with her head this pretty much this entire time.
I mean, yeah.
Dom's kind of upset that he's like, dude, I'm not gonna fucking kill you. Like, what the fuck? Like, so he puts his gun down outside of her room on the top of the staircase. And he's like, see, like unarmed. I just want to talk. Everything's okay. And he enters her room. Dom tells her that he truly has been in love before with her. They have a cute little heart-to-heart moment and she asks if he'll ever forgive Tobias and he tells her he's his brother. Dom's phone goes off and he runs to the top of the stairs, stands still, and he's like, Mateo, what are you doing here?
Mateo?
Mateo and Andre are from the Spanish Lullaby, which is a gang.
Different club.
Oh.
And they're here as a hit to take out Cecilia.
Oh.
They're like, sorry, dude, but it's a payout, so gotta get my money. And because Dom put his gun on the stairs, since it scared Cece, he's unarmed and Mateo now has it. So they're fucked.
Wow. Wow.
Cecilia, you dumb bitch.
Yep.
Tobias is here now. He's at the bottom of the stairs and they're trying to renegotiate a deal to save Cece's life. They're like, hey, I'll pay you double, whatever. And Andre, who's one of the other guys from the Spanish Lullaby, he's like, okay, deal. But Mateo, he's like inching closer to Cece, like one's for it, one's not. Dom locks eyes with Cece and asks her if she wants to watch a movie and eat popcorn and snuggle with her favorite lavender blanket after this, because she's freaking the fuck out.
Yeah.
Cece tells him in French not to do anything stupid and that she loves him. And he tells her that he knows and then pushes her out of the way suddenly, just as Andre was about to stab Cece. And then he sacrifices himself for her. So Dom gets stabbed.
Does he die?
No.
Cece is getting pushed and pulled back and forth. There's shots and shouts. And there's so much drama going on. Mateo is down and dead. He's off the earth. And Tobias is running around shooting Andre. Cece's now tending to a gravely wounded Dominic. She's holding pressure on the wound. Tobias finally rejoined them to help. And no matter how hard they try to stop the bleeding, Dom bled out. His last words before he died was, always brothers to Tobias. And then he died.
He does die?
He's dead.
He dies.
Rest in peace.
Shelby, you dirty little liar.
I'm trying to throw you off the tracks.
Damn.
Well, at least she doesn't have to worry about any, like, brothers.
That's true. Now they're just two dudes.
Yeah, one of them's dead.
Yeah,
one of them's not.
There you go.
A minute later, backup comes, and it's like 10 cars worth of Spanish Lullaby gangs out front. They were about to fuck her up. She was about to be like fucking little meat specks on the floor. They are rushing to get Cecilia out, and Tobias says, nobody leaves here alive. And then Tobias turns to Cecilia, and he tells her to never, ever come back to this town. Sean gets her up and basically like throws her out of a fucking window and gets her to her car. And she drives and doesn't stop.
It's a full-on fucking gang war at her house. Like,
oh my god.
So, we are now in the present. So, Cecilia is age 26. It is 6 years later. Cecilia wakes up from a nightmare of her wedding day. She sees Tobias in the shadows, and she's still following him. She's running. She's like, wait for me!
Oh my god. It's been 6 years.
Girl. She loves him, Charlotte.
They fucked like 10 times.
They played house together.
They did
for
play
like
house.
2 weeks. That was enough for her. She loves that man.
Chess connects you in emotional ways you will never understand.
I guess I won't. She wakes up from her nightmare and shreds her wedding dress with her bare hands.
Oh.
And she decides she can't do this anymore. This was her last straw. She decides it's finally time to stop lying to both her and her fiancé.
Oh, so like she's engaged to like a random man right now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, God. This poor man.
I know.
Yeah, he's like a nice guy, too.
He's so nice.
So she drives back to Triple Falls. Cecilia pulls up to the cemetery and finally visits Dom, trying her best not to fall apart. And she notices that Del Delphine is buried right next to him, having joined him just months after he passed. She returns to the house, and she hasn't been there since that fateful day. She got plagued with raging PTSD from the events that happened after she left. Somehow, Roman was aware of what happened. Tobias sent an email from her phone to her dad, and he responded back basically as like a backup alibi. So her dad was aware that there was a hit out for her.
Oh, God.
I don't know if it was for him or for her or like basically for the family, I think. Might have been, now that I think about it, I think it might have been for him.
But didn't stop it.
Yeah.
And he was aware of it?
Yes. He knew that she was at the house and like, you know. But he responded to the email. And when she found that email from her dad, she was like, he fucking knew. As she was driving, she got a call from an area code. And all that sounded was three distinct swirls of ice in a drink, which is Tobias's MO. So she knew that was Tobias. And then the sound of a Zippo lighter, which is like Sean's MO. So she knew that was Tobias and Sean, that they were okay. And they didn't speak to her. They just did those sounds.
They said, drinky, drinky, lighter, lighter.
I almost died. You almost died. You came and fucking say I'm okay.
Yeah, something.
She's pulled back to the present, away from her PTSD nightmare. And she gets into the house and nothing has changed except for the new carpet. So she now owns the house and the business because her father passed away 2 years after she moved away.
Oh, so he's dead.
Deceased. She's coming through her house, going through all the painful memories. And she knew that breaking it off with her fiance, Colin, was inevitable. But maybe all this at once is too painful. So she gets pissed drunk. She wakes up from her ex-fiance, Colin, begging her to come home. And he just won't let her lay him down gently. She just point blank tells him when they had sex, she was masturbating to someone else.
Man, poor guy.
Oh, yeah. She's like, you didn't do it for me. My stalker, though. Yeah.
That man.
Once her call ends, she calls her friend and lawyer, Ryan, and tells him that she needs him in Triple Falls. She's going to finally sell everything that was Roman's. The next day, she's severely hungover and drops a glass. And when picking it up, she's hit with a distinct smell, his gin. She knows that that can't be true, though. Maybe it's Triple Falls messing with her head. Tobias always drank straight gin. She's like, he was here. Ryan shows up, and we also find out that he was her ex at some point. She's plowing through these men, baby.
Get him.
The night that he told her that he loved her, she broke up with him.
This poor man.
She has so many, like, hot, nice, rich men that want her so bad. And she's like, no, I want the men that treat me like shit, that tattoo me without my consent. They're in a gang.
That branded me.
Also, the actual fucking-dacity for someone to drug you, brand you for life as part of like a gang, and then that very same fucking night be like, go away and never come back and don't ever think of me again. How? You just branded me for life. How am I supposed to never think of you again?
I have to look at this. Yeah. I have to look at this.
Yeah, what the fuck?
That's insane.
They basically initiated her as part of the gang, and then they were like, just kidding, you're kicked out.
Leave.
She's about to sign the deal to get rid of Roman's business. It's an undisclosed buyer. Everything looked great. Just as she was about to sign, she sees an emblem, and it's a raven. And Cece turns to the lawyer representing them, and she's like, all right, where is he? The guy's like, what? And she's like, Tobias King. I want to speak to him right now, or there's going to be no deal. He's not a private buyer. I know who the fuck he is. The lawyer's like, he's probably going to say no, but I'll call. And he steps out to make the call. He comes back in the room, and he's like, Mr. King will be here in 20 minutes.
Yes, he will.
Ryan, her lawyer, is picking up on her terrified, nervous vibe. And he's like, sis, what the fuck is up? Like, why are you acting like a mob boss in this town? Who are you? Ryan leaves her alone to her thoughts, and Tobias shows up. She tells him this was supposed to happen years ago, and how come it didn't? Did he end up taking pity on Roman, who was dying? And he tells her plans have changed.
Quietly exhaling, I turn and lay eyes on him for the first time in 6 years. It's a shot to the chest, which robs me of breath and ricochets when his eyes collide with mine. In those few seconds, I'm engulfed in flames, my lips parting slightly as we take in the other, at a loss for words. He's cruelly beautiful, as he's always been, even more so now. He's larger than life in the outdated office. His dark suit clings to his physique, his build just as magnificent as it was years ago when I felt his naked flesh under my palms and our breaths mingled. No memory I have did him justice, from the surreal ember color of his eyes, to the cut of his jaw, to the majestic strength of his nose, down to his light crimson lips. He's spellbinding.
That's a hottie.
And you know what? She's a smart businesswoman who gets what she wants. And she tells him, you want this business? Guess what? I want answers. They're still in negotiations, so she'll give him what he wants when she has her answers. So part of her negotiations is daily meetings, moving headquarters to Triple Falls. This is all mainly to piss him off, but also because he owes her answers. Tobias is clearly livid, but does agree to the terms. Cecilia catches up with Melinda, and they end up going to a pit stop, which has memories of her and Sean, and she's like tearing up. And Melinda's like, girl, you have this huge ass rock on your finger. She's still wearing her wedding ring, by the way. You have this huge ass rock on your finger. Like, I don't know why you're tripping out. And she finds out that Sean is married with two kids. And she's like happy for him. But Tobias is like, everyone has moved on without you, bitch. Get the fuck out of this town. No one wants you here.
Precisely. Do that.
Yeah. Oh my God.
He's like, why are you back here? Everyone's moved on without you. Leave this place.
It's been 6 years.
When she's at pit stop, she sees pictures of Sean and sees a picture of one of Sean's kids on the wall. Tobias agreed to the terms for the agreement and they sign tomorrow. And then Ryan also tells her that after this business is concluded, this is the notice of his resignation because he's like in love with her and can't continue working with her when she's a hot mess and clearly in love with a trillion people.
Yeah. Fair enough.
So the next morning, Cece goes to the cemetery to talk to Dominic. She tells him how much she missed him, but then she realizes someone is behind her. Tobias is watching her from outside the gate, and he comes in to sit next to her. She tells him how badly she wants to move on from all of them, but she can't. And he tells her she needs to go home, but she refuses.
Go home.
Take the hint. You're embarrassing.
I know.
She feels intense longing to touch him with them being this close, but she doesn't. He's just glaring at her, but she tells herself she'll love him for the rest of her life.
I'm embarrassed.
They had 2 weeks.
And he's literally like, hey, leave.
6 years later, he's like, girl.
But listen, yes to all those points. However, I do see where she's coming from. I fear I might be a little bit on her side. Maybe not to the point of 6 years, but a girl's gotta do what a girl's gotta do, you know?
Yeah, he has a monster cock, you guys.
God. I know, but if a man is in front of you saying, leave, everyone's moved on but you, leave.
You drop to your knees and undo a zipper, right?
But she knows that it's not true. He's just, they've always had this cute back and forth thing.
She has a perfectly good, handsome, rich, nice fiance at home. Go home to him.
And a lawyer friend that is pining over her.
Fuck both of them. And she has a lot of money. You have endless opportunities, girl.
And she's about to be even more rich selling the company, too, so.
She tells him she loved Dom, but not the way she loves Tobias. So she, like, admits out loud, she's like, I loved you more than your brother, Tobias.
I can say that now because he's dead.
The brother that sacrificed himself for me.
Yeah. Good God. So sad.
He stands up to leave and she chases after him, but he gets in his car and drives away from her.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah. But she gets in her car and she gets in a high speed chase with him and runs him off the road.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
She says, fine, crash your car then, bitch. They get into an argument where she's begging him to just talk to her, but he's like, no, go home, Cecilia. Leave. Then he gets in his car and he speeds off. She doesn't chase him. That night, Cecilia has dreams about Sean and she wakes up in turmoil. She calls her friend Christy to talk through her feelings, and Christy was her friend that she would call who didn't live in Twin Falls. She was like her friend before she came to Twin Falls. Mm-hmm. And Christy knows all of the shit.
All the tea.
She tells her bestie that everyone has moved on here. And Christy's like, girl, you went through trauma back then. And that she just wants Cecilia to be happy. She needs to try and move past this and be the woman she knows Cecilia is capable of being. Listen to your fucking friend.
Yeah.
That day, she goes through company stuff with Ryan and Tobias to improve the lives of the company's employees. So that's their MO, is to make the management less corrupt in this town to benefit the employees. Tobias shuts down all of her ideas and is like, I've got this all figured out myself. But Cecilia's like, no, you're going to listen to all of my ideas. They're good ideas. Ryan tries to stand up for her, but Tobias is like, are you going to lick the bottom of her boots or what? Like, he can tell that Ryan is absolutely head over heels in love with Cecilia, and it pisses him off.
Tobias.
She interrupts their little pissing match and is like, boys, chill out. And she breaks them up when they start to puff chests at each other. Like, they're just in each other's face.
Whose dick is bigger?
Later that day, she fires a corrupt manager named Jerry, and he threatens her, telling her he's gonna fucking end her. But Cecilia's just like, well, get in line. A lot of people want to kill me, so. When Tobias catches wind of the Jerry situation, he gets furious and tells her she's playing with fire and she shouldn't have moved on Jerry without him. I guess he had his own plans with Jerry, but Cecilia did her own thing and that pisses him off. But at the same time, he almost seems proud of her. And she says she found out Jerry's the one who sent Miami that night, so he had something to do with the hit. So if she wants to get involved with all of this, she will, because it affected her too. He grabs a bottle of wine and slams it on her desk, telling her he guesses celebrations are in order, and then he walks out, not coming back, and he doesn't even come back the next day. A few days later, Cecilia gets arrested for speeding and marijuana possession. Like, she is crashing out.
Girl, get it under control.
Spiral. She's gonna spiral.
Ryan is pissed and is like, who the fuck even are you? Because when he knew her before she called him to Triple Falls, she was like a normal, rich business girl. And now she's like speeding and smoking weed. Yeah. He starts to realize how much power Tobias has in this town since he's got his hands in the police station and was responsible for the arrest. So Tobias got her arrested.
Girl, leave that man alone.
Yes.
He's just flirting.
Jenna.
She winds up only getting a ticket and they impound her Audi. Ryan says this shit is exactly why he put in his resignation. Like, he's like, you are a hot mess. I cannot deal with you. You're going through something. This is why I'm fucking quitting my job.
He said, leave me out of it.
And he's nice and rich and hot too.
She does not have her head on straight.
He takes her to her dad's old house and drops her off, telling her he's gonna find someone less toxic for him and go fall in love somewhere else. And she's like, yeah, good, you should. And she gives him a little cheek kiss. So he says that and he means it, but he's being very sweet about it. So it's very amicable. She visits her old pal Tessa at the store she owns, and there's some tension. It seems like Tessa hates Cecilia's guts. Cecilia walks in and she's like, hey girl, and Tessa's like, oh my fucking god, hey.
Not you, get out.
Oh my god, no one is liking Cecilia right now.
Why would they?
The whole town's like, leave, bitch.
Yeah, she's like, I will stay. Cecilia sees the ring on Tessa's finger and she realizes that Tessa is married to Sean. Tessa's pissed and tells her they have two kids and one of the kids' names is Dominic. She tells Cecilia he may have loved Cecilia first, but Tessa got him in the end.
She did.
As Cecilia walks out of the store, Tessa's like, okay, I'm sorry. I resent you for what happened that summer, but I'll try and get past it. She assures Tessa that she's got nothing to worry about, and Tessa's like, yeah, I know. My husband loves me. I'm not worried about you. Go off, girl.
Yeah.
I think that's why she was so, like, mean, too. She's like, great, she's back. She's gonna steal my fucking husband?
Yeah.
She fucks everybody?
Fucking skank? Cecilia heads to the bar and sees Eddie, and Eddie tells her she shouldn't be here. Tobias wouldn't like it, and he refuses to serve her.
My god.
Yeah, take a fucking hint. But Cecilia's like, whatever, and she pulls her own bottle out, and he's like, hey, you can't drink that here. And she pulls out a $100 bill and is like, okay, then serve me. So he caves and gives her a drink. She sits down and proceeds to drink away all of her sorrows. Tyler walks up to her table and she grabs him for a hug and tells him how happy she is to see him. He tells her how beautiful she looks, but warns her that Tobias is about to show up. And she's like, yeah, I figured, and tells him how sorry she was to hear about Delphine. Tyler says they got two beautiful years together before she died, and it's all thanks to Cecilia.
Oh, that part is so cute.
Yeah. He tells her he doesn't live in town anymore and he's got to head out, and she wishes him well. He tells her he's always got her back, and then he leaves. She flips off everyone in the bar staring at her all judgy, and she drinks some more. She asks a random dude with no raven tattoo where she can buy some weed, and he's like, it's free if you smoke with me. And she's like, I'm not interested, dude. But he doesn't want to take no for an answer. Eddie tries to warn the random guy, but it's too late. Tobias is here.
Oh, what is he gonna do?
She tries to warn the guy that there's an exit in the bathroom if he wants to try and escape before it gets bad, but Tobias is literally flipping tables over as he stalks toward them.
He's like, walk, flip, walk, flip.
Tobias knocks Cecilia's drink out of her hand and is like, I told you to leave. And Eddie is like, hey, stop. I can clean all this up later. Tobias drags her outside and she barfs on the sidewalk. He brings her a bottle of water and tells her she needs to grow up. He calls Sean to give her a ride home, but Sean is like, I'm not taking her home. You do it. Like, he's like, I don't want any fucking part of this. I got a wife and kids.
Fair.
He's like, my wife will fucking kill me.
Yeah. Keep that harlot away from my home.
I would literally throw myself off a fucking roof.
How are you not mortified?
Yeah.
She gives no fucks.
I would never show my face there again.
No, but she refuses to leave town.
It's like getting blacked out and then watching a Snapchat story the next morning. You know what I mean? Like, it's like that feeling of just like absolute disgust and like...
Yes. Yes.
Embarrassment.
But it gets worse.
Oh, God.
A car pulls up and a beautiful woman steps out. It's another old friend named Alicia. She walks up to Tobias and gives him a smooch. They're together, obviously, and Tobias looks at her with affection, telling her he'll be home soon and he's making dinner tonight. At this point, fucking leave.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now Cecilia is spiraling. When Alicia's gone, she tells Tobias she was engaged, but she broke it off when she got into town and asks why he didn't tell her he was with someone. And he's like, it's been 6 years. What do you expect?
Literally.
Ugh, I can't.
The drama. I love it. I love it so much.
It's silly. If she had even an inkling of an ounce of self-respect, she would have left like 7 chapters ago.
Yes.
Yeah. Also, I'm going to play devil's advocate here. She's only 26. So she is still very immature.
Her frontal lobe like just barely got developed.
Okay. All right. If we want to play that game, what were we all doing at 26?
I was with my husband.
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying like for a single person, I know a couple of single 30-year-olds that act like this.
That's true. That's true.
But like if an entire town of people was like, girl, we have hated you for 6 years. Please leave. And you're like, no,
I will stay. I know you guys love me.
I mean, don't we all know someone like that here in Reno?
That's true. That's
we
true.
Don't like them. Or respect them.
I know.
Cecilia starts to cry and is like, oh my God, I'm so stupid. Did yeah. you even miss me?
No. She's like, honestly, stressing me out.
I love the delusion though. Like, I literally, like, I seriously do love it so much.
She's like the girl in Wedding Crashers where she's like, don't ever leave me because I'll find you.
I tell Andrew that all the time.
But like, here's my thing. I love my husband. We've been together for almost 10 years. If he was like, leave this town. I'm speeding away in my car from you. I don't like you. Go away. I'd be like, okay.
Yeah.
Literally. I wouldn't be like, do you love me?
And then come back 6 years later. Did you miss me?
Yeah. No. And that's my whole ass husband.
Yeah.
Whatever. Maybe it's just my attachment style. She's got a clearly got a different attachment style.
Yeah. She says, I'll find you in every lifetime. That's a threat. Yeah.
He refuses to entertain her and puts her in her rental car to drive her home. While they're driving, she's like, do you love her? Because I love you the most and I can't move on.
Ew, I have the ick.
She confesses how badly she wanted to come back to Triple Falls the first year they were apart. She went to France to escape and thought of him the entire time. So she's like, I wanted to escape the thought of you. So I went to your home country and I spent a summer there.
Yeah, and she also learned French
for him.
She's insane.
Yes.
I love it so much.
And it's not even like she's like in a place where she needs to be desperate. Like she has money. She's smart. Men want her. Go live your life, girl.
It's not the man she wants, Charlotte.
Why do you want this man?
He's the most beautiful man she's ever seen.
He's not even nice.
She'll remember his dick forever. She said it.
Yeah, she's just sucking like a regular dick. She's like, I can fit this in my mouth. So lame.
It's not even tearing me apart.
God.
I know. She tells him she went to school and got her master's and started her company, but she never forgot them. Then she met Colin and he was safe, but every night she dreamt of him. Then she came back and everyone else has moved on. Like, yes, girl, it has been 6 years. Of course they've moved on. You think everyone in this town is like, dang, we miss Cecilia. She was here for that one summer.
That crazy girl.
God, I'm like mad. She passes out drunk and wakes up to him taking her shirt off, speaking French to her about how he jerks off to her all the time and he hates himself for it.
Yeah, because at this point, he doesn't know that she's fluent.
He's like, oh, oui, oui, ma petite. And she's like, oh.
She goes, hey, I knew it.
I knew it.
He asks if she calls out for him when she comes and she says yes. She tells him she loves him, and he tells her she's so goddamn beautiful. He takes her bra off, and he starts to caress her breasts, cursing her in French, and then she falls asleep for good.
For good. She's dead.
For good. For the rest of the book, she's dead. Well, she falls asleep for the night. But I think he was expecting her to be, like, too drunk to remember any of it, so he was a little loose with his lips.
Oh, my goodness.
She wakes up to a bottle of water and two Advil, and she is hungover as fuck. And Tobias is still here. She gets dressed and sits next to him. He tells her the story of how he fled France with his mother to flee his biological dad, and then Dominic was born. And when Dom was a baby, I guess Tobias tried to dump him in the trash can.
Yeah. He's like, I don't want this baby brother.
Yeah.
He said, no.
He tells her how he hated his little brother, but then he was forced to hold Dominic for the first time. And from that moment on, Dominic was his. And that was their big bonding moment as children.
It's so cute. That is cute.
He goes on and on about their childhood. His stepdad started working at the plant, which is the company that Cecilia's dad owns. He was trying to make things better for his coworkers. Then the brotherhood started when Tobias was 11. So while his parents were working for Roman, things were really fucked up for the employees. Mm-hmm. And Tobias's dad would try and do things to make things better for the little people.
Yeah. Okay. It's like Robin Hood.
Shortly after this, both parents died at work, and Roman was behind it. So the fire that started, Delphine took things over and was more extreme because of the anger. And when Tobias was 15, he was officially in the Brotherhood. One day, he went to the library to pick Sean up, and that's the first time he saw a young Cecilia who was spending the summer with Roman. He realized Cecilia was innocent and not at all close to her father. He built the Brotherhood up over the next 10 years, and it was growing every day. And then Cecilia moved back that summer when everything started. That's their little backstory from his point of view.
Okay.
When he found out what was going on between Cecilia, Dominic, and Sean, he had to punish them and send them away. But Cecilia was never supposed to be a part of all this. But when he saw her for the first time at the pool, he knew he wanted her. So when she was just laying with her titties out.
Of course you did.
And he says until that night with the necklace, he tried to stay away from her. The night Dominic died, he got a tip about Matteo and Andre coming for Roman. And that tip came from Roman himself. He tells her that he was in communication with Roman discussing Tobias keeping him and Cecilia safe. And Tobias had told Roman that he was in love with his daughter that night. But he tells her she needs to leave town now. And she, of course, says no.
Of course.
She says she still loves him and she wants a life with him. And he's like, you make me so fucking crazy. Do you think we're gonna run off and get married or something? We do not get a happy ending. And she's like, you stole my heart and just expect me to leave? Yes, girl.
Like 6 years ago, yeah.
But he's like, you don't know what it's like to see you now. And she's like, I'm still yours. I was always meant to be yours. Barf. He tells her they were never anything more than a mistake. She asks if he loves his girlfriend, and he says he respects her and he trusts her, but she's like, you don't love her. He tells her to let it go, but she says she came back to claim the life she deserves with him. He grabs her, and she tells him she loves him and it's not too late. And then someone walks up behind them saying, Cecilia?
Who is it?
It's Colin, and he's pissed.
Her fiance.
Or ex-fiance, because, I mean, she did break up with him. He looks at Tobias and is like, is this who you left me for? Tobias is acting all smug and winks at Colin, saying, she's all yours. He leaves Colin and Cecilia to talk, but not before punching Colin in the nose and asking how it feels to know when he was fucking his future wife, she was thinking about Tobias the entire time.
She's an antagonizer.
I've got that thug dick she craves.
Excuse me?
He sneers, sliding his crotch along Colin's stomach as I rip at his shoulders as he leans in. Can you make her come with just a finger and a whisper in her ear? I mastered that. Tobias glances over at me, his eyes lit before turning back to Colin, hauling him over the lounger and riding him to stand before straightening his jacket. If you needed some tips, all you had to do was ask. Tobias.
Also, keep your monster cock off Colin.
Yeah, he didn't do anything to you.
Now Colin is bleeding and clearly very hurt. Cecilia calls Tobias a bastard and he tells her to take Colin and go home. Then Tobias is gone. She nurses Colin's nose by shoving tampons up his nostrils, which I thought was pretty funny. And Colin is like, was that the man you still love? Why? He is actually hella mean.
Yeah.
And he told you to leave. Like, he doesn't want you here. And she's like, it's a long story. Colin is very hurt by her secrecy, and she's like, I'm sorry I hurt you, but this is who I am, and I want him.
girl.
And he's like, you're ending this for a man you'll probably never have. And she's like, yeah, I guess I am.
God.
He takes her ring back and leaves for good. A week passes and she knows her time in Triple Falls is almost over. But she still doesn't want to give up on Tobias. She's sitting at a restaurant when Tobias and his girlfriend walk in. Cecilia watches them act like a happy couple while she sits alone with her wine.
Oh my God.
She accidentally knocks her wine over, and when she goes to wipe it off, she pulls the tablecloth, spilling food everywhere, and she sets her book on fire with a candle. Like, it's a whole thing. That would be my 13th reason.
Yeah. Yeah, I would take a knife that was on the table and just...
Tobias obviously notices her, and he walks over, but she's like, I was just leaving, and she speaks some French to Tobias, asking him why life is so cruel. They stare at each other, and Cecilia starts to cry, and she leaves alone. She wakes up that night to someone pounding on her front door. It's Tobias. And when she opens the door, he steps right on in. He's drunk and he's pissed. He wants to know why she hasn't left yet. And she's like, tough shit. He grabs her and tells her they were never anything but a weak moment. And she's like, go take your shit out on your girlfriend and leave me alone. But he grabs the tie from her robe and releases one of her titties.
Release the beast.
Let me see your titties.
He then tells her him and Alicia broke up tonight, so let's finish business. He pinches her nipple and is like, here I am. Let's do this. She strips for him, and he tells her he doesn't want her anymore. And she's like, you're a liar. And then they start to kiss angrily.
How many nights have you touched yourself thinking of me? Closed your eyes and thought of me while your fiance was fucking you. Every night, I hiss, clawing at every part of him to get him closer. Every night, he pauses his assault, glaring down at me. You're right. You're sick. This. We are fucking sick. And it isn't going to end the way you want it to. He seethes. I know, I gasp as he presses a finger inside me, his grip on my neck tightening as I hoarsely cry his name. I'm soaked, so much that I feel his cock twitch through his slacks when he finds me needy. Lightning flashes behind the open front door as he finger fucks me ruthlessly while the thunder rolls in.
Oh, it's a thunderstorm. Romantic, as he says, I don't want you.
For the 1,000th time.
She'll just come hearing it. She's like, ah!
She pulls his dick out and he slams right into her. He fucks her relentlessly as she screams his name. They come together, and when it's all over, he says, we are nothing. And she says, you're a liar. This is foreplay for her.
Yeah, it really is.
She loves the rejection. He grabs his jacket to leave, but she tells him it takes a queen to understand a king. And he tells her he can't give her what she wants. Then he leaves her there alone. The next day, she tells herself she needs to leave town.
Yeah.
Charlotte's face.
I'm so annoyed. She got her answers, but maybe she'll never get closure. She'll always love Tobias, but they'll never be together. She walks into her dad's room and trashes it out of anger at all the men who hurt her in her life. But then she finds a few handwritten letters in his nightstand. And one of them is from her mom to Roman. She reads it, and it's her mom basically confessing that the fire that killed Sean and Dom's parents was her fault, and she regrets that he ever took the blame for it. She begs him to be better to their daughter so she can see the man that she fell in love with. She drives to her mom's house and confronts her with the letter. Her mom tells her she worked at the plant when she was younger and they had a secret affair. The night of the fire, she told Roman she was pregnant, but he didn't want her to keep the baby. She was in turmoil and distracted, so when she went to work, she wasn't thinking and the fire started. And when she left, she locked the door as she was evacuating, not knowing that Tobias and Dom's parents were in the room, and she didn't realize what was happening until she heard their screams, but it was too late.
Damn.
And Roman covered it up for her. He'd made a lot of enemies in his life and cut them both out to protect them. But she tells Cecilia that her father did love her. But when he finally came to see her at 3 months old, he went to pick her up out of her crib, and there was a loaded gun in the crib with her, pointed right at her head. And the gun was put there by Delphine.
Holy fuck.
That's when they decided it would be better off if Roman stayed as far away as possible. Cecilia is pissed and gets in her car and speeds off. She goes back to Triple Falls and spreads her dad's ashes, making a little bit of peace with the relationship she lost with him. She visits Dom's grave to talk out her feelings and tells him how much she misses him. She visits Tobias at his office at the plant, and it's her dad's old office. So Tobias has completely taken over at this point. He apologizes for what he did to her when he angry fucked her. And she's like, it's fine. I let you do it, but it doesn't matter. I'm leaving. Finally.
Yay.
She hands the letter to him and tells him that her mom started the fire that killed his parents. And he's like, yeah, I already know that. Roman told me. He never told her because he didn't want to ruin her relationship with her mom. She's like, okay, well, you never deserved me. I'm leaving now. You're a coward. And I refuse to love a coward. She tells him she severed all ties she has with the company. He's free from her now. And she leaves. She puts the house up for sale and goes to see Sean before she leaves. He gives her the key to Dom's Camaro, and now it's hers. She congratulates him on his wife and kids awkwardly and is like, okay, gotta go now. Bye. She gets in the Camaro, and it still smells like Dom. Before she drives away, Sean tells her he still thinks about her, and she says she does too. She asks if he's happy, and he says yes, he's so fucking happy. She says she just wanted a real chance to say goodbye, and he was her first love, and she's so sorry for everything. And he says he's sorry too, and they'll always have pieces of each other, and he'll always love her, but she needs to let all of it go so she can go be happy the way he is now, even though a part of him still wishes it was with her. And I just put the audacity.
Yeah, you shouldn't say that out loud, bitch.
No, those are inside thoughts. She starts the car and sees a raven necklace on the rearview mirror. She floors it and blasts her music, and she's thankful for all the love she had and lost, and thinks of her men as she speeds off down the road, finally free. It's 8 months later. She's a waitress now. The news is on the TV, and the new president is giving a speech. But on the side of the president is a Secret Service agent, and it's Tyler.
They've infiltrated the government.
She clocks out early and leaves work because she's freaking out. She gets in the car, and when the music starts, it's the song that she played Into the Woods that day when she first met Tobias. And her car is connected to a random Bluetooth device. It's Tobias. He's in the parking lot.
Aw, what are you doing there?
After he's like, leave, 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 leave. And she leaves and he's like, wait.
She's like finally moving on for the first time in her entire existence. And he's like, hey, Pookie, you miss me?
Typical man.
He's like, so you're a waitress now. And she's like, I actually own the whole restaurant. He tells her he's here to claim what's his, her. And she's like, not interested, buddy. And he says he's going to try until she's willing to take him back. And that what they had was real. And I just put, oh, how the turntables.
Yeah, wow.
He says she's the only thing he's ever stolen for himself, and he still wants her. He doesn't want to live a life without her, and he wants to prove himself to her. He begs her to finally let him love her the way she deserves, but she's not having it at all. She calls him a bastard, and he says, I'm your bastard. They kiss, and he says, let's go home. And she says, where's that? And he says, I don't know, you tell me. They head back to her house to go make love and have some French toast for breakfast. The end.
Wow.
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 The key to this is that persistence breaks down resistance.
That's a horrible, horrible moral of the story.
No means no, Jenna.
No means try harder. Riley, how many red pepper emojis do you give this one?
I think I would give this one a 3. I agree with 3. Like, I enjoyed it. It was fine. But, like, honestly, I did not like Cecilia that much in this story.
No.
No.
She had no self-respect.
No. I wanted her to, like, get up on her two fucking feet.
Well, do you think Tobias is sexy?
I do.
Would you trade places with Cecilia?
No. I don't want everyone to hate me.
An entire town.
Yeah.
Telling you to get the fuck out.
Yeah.
As you stay. No. So next week, we're telling Riley all about Vipers and Virtuosos by Sav R. Miller. And we're going to have her look at the cover and give us her best guess on what it might be about.
It's got like a guitar on it, some music notes, some flowers. It does say Monsters and Muses book 2. So I think it'll be like a dark, I do think it'll be a dark book, like a dark romance with like magic. I feel like it'll be a magic one. Magic, monsters, possibly. It did say monsters. I think it'll be fairy or fae romance. This woman, she's going to have some power of her own, some magic. And then she's going to meet this man who's going to be like a dark, brooding monster of some sort. Maybe a viper, like a snake monster, right? That's what a viper is?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, like a big snake monster. And they're going to have to fight some evil entity together. Maybe he'll be part of it. And then they're going to fuck.
Okay.
How'd I do?
Nowhere. Nowhere.
That was your worst one to
that
date.
Was dang like it. Iceberg cold.
Dang. Okay. Well.
Yeah.
Damn it.
find out next week.
Sounds like a fun book, though. Your version sounded fun.
Okay, thanks. I'll start writing a book.
All right. Well, if you liked this episode, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe.
Follow us on Instagram at @SmutUpAndListenPodcast and on TikTok at @SmutUpAndListen.
Tell your friends, but not your mom. And we'll see you later, you horny little rats.
Bye.
All right. Well, if you liked this episode, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe.
Follow us on Instagram at @SmutUpAndListenPodcast and on TikTok at @SmutUpAndListen.
Tell your friends, but not your mom. And we'll see you later, you horny little rats.
Bye.